This is Small Town News. I'm Keith.
I'm Neil.
I'm George.
And I'm Craig.
And what we do each session is reread small town newspaper articles from small town newspapers somewhere across the United States. We are reading these articles for the first time. They are provided to us by the wonderfully talented but the woefully underpaid Dr. Saxon.
So talented.
From those articles, we might take a character, a situation, maybe just a singular word, and we're going to improvise stories around them. We're just trying to make big stories out of small town news. Yes, Neil, your hand is raised.
Oh, I was just going to let you call on me so I could tell you the town name before George screwed it all up.
But there's a picture! It's Jesus and his mom!
There's always a picture!
It's Jesus and Mary!
It's not.
It is.
It's not.
It is. Look,
so
you can tell.
They had photography in Jesus' day?
Well, I mean, it's a reenactment.
It's acting. It's called plate acting.
Yes, it's a plate actress.
It's a woman on a plate.
So it's a plate baby.
It's a
Jesus plate.
We're in Wartburg, Tennessee.
All right. Well, all right. Now back to Jesus plate.
It's a plate full of Jesus and his mom.
It's not.
Well, how do you wait? Where are you getting that from?
Mother.
She's wearing something kind of shawlish.
Only had one baby, right?
How do you know it's Mary?
Wait, Mary had more than one baby?
Yes.
How many?
I don't know, but Jesus's brother James has a book in the New Testament.
Was he his literal brother or like,
yes.
Hey, I'm your spiritual brother?
It's his literal brother James.
Half-brother.
Right. It was Joseph's son, right?
Correct. Okay. Why are you assuming that this is Mary?
It's either Mary or someone that wants to look like Mary.
Well, first off, Mary wasn't Anglo-Saxon, so there's that.
There's that.
What?
Also the lack of photography in the first century.
Nah, detail schmetails.
Look, if people are walking on water, they can take pictures.
Yeah, what is this? We're picking miracles now?
Hashtag pick my miracle.
Hashtag pick my miracle, put it on a plate.
It's a miracle you have engraved this image.
That's right. I mean, that's where we're drawing the line.
So we're pulling our stories from the Morgan County News this week in Wartburg, Tennessee.
Welcome to Wartburg, Tennessee. I just want to be able to say Wartburg. It's as fun as I thought it was going to be.
It is great.
She picked it for the name.
Home to 924 residents.
That is a small town.
Wow. Located in the mountains of eastern Tennessee, Wartburg is 45 miles west of Knoxville and 145 miles east of Nashville. The town was founded in the 1840s by George Girding. George was also the organizer for the East Tennessee Colonization Company. The company's mission was to settle the Cumberland Plateau area with German immigrants. The town was named after Wartburg Castle in Germany. Neither the town nor the castle have anything to do with warts. The name Wartburg means watchtower in German.
That's disappointing.
It's a wart tower.
Hold on, does Berg mean tower?
I thought a Berg was a town.
Me too.
Well, towns started out as very small things. They were just towers. Yeah. And then as more people were added to the town, they stretched out.
Okay.
I'll buy that for a dollar.
And knowing's half the battle.
Come on in my stretched out tower.
Whoa.
Wait, that's not what you meant?
Also known as my Wartburg.
Yeah. The Obed Creek and Emery River flow south of Wartburg and attract whitewater enthusiasts. Emery's River's whitewater runs from Class 1 to Class 3, and Obed's Creek whitewater runs from Class 2 to Class 4. There are 6 classifications of whitewater rapids. Class 1 rapids have very small, rough areas requiring no maneuvering and are suitable for people without any experience. A Class 6 set of whitewater rapids are not passable, and any attempts to do so would result in serious injury, near drowning, or death. However, if a Class 6 rapids are successfully run, then it becomes a Class 5. Oh, so if no one dies, you get downgraded. which is characterized by large waves, continuous rapids, large rocks and hazards, maybe a large drop, precise maneuvering, and often characterized by must-make moves, i.e. failure to execute a specific maneuver at a specific point may result in serious injury or death.
So nope. The first time someone makes it through a Class 6, it becomes a Class 5.
Yeah.
You wouldn't want to be that guy.
Well, you wouldn't want to be any of the guys before him.
That's true.
That guy's fine.
Yeah. We got a reputation to uphold here.
Whitewater zones can also be reclassified due to technology advancements. Rapids that were considered unpassable decades ago have been downgraded thanks to stronger and lighter boats and better safety equipment. However, even with these advances, 50 people each year are killed in American whitewater accidents. While kayaks, rafts, and canoes are the vessels most commonly associated with whitewater boating, some people tackle the rapids in river bugs. A river bug is a small inflatable single-person boat. The river bugger sits with their feet sticking out of the front of the craft. No oars or paddles are used in river bugging.
What?
Swim fins and paddle mitts are the only methods of steering and control, and river buggers are secured to their crafts with a waist belt.
That's great. You just don't. You're just giving it up so, a chance.
I'm hearing the British version of bugger.
Well, of course when you are. Yeah. Which, in this case, involves a waist belt.
So,
and paddle mitts.
So for river buggery, you need paddle mitts and a waist belt and like an inner tube.
And prayers.
And sitting with your feet sticking out in front of you.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. To get caught in rocks and things.
Especially in a pool inflatable.
So it's the skeleton version of, it's that equivalent for bobsledding. To like yes. whitewater rafting.
Yep. Just no fun. Control. Just go. See if you can turn the 6 into a 5.
So the lazy river at the resort is river buggery.
It is. Yeah. It is. Yeah.
It's a class 0 rapid, but right. Yeah.
They have signs everywhere that say no river buggery.
yeah, they do.
Keep it lazy. If whitewater river bugging isn't your thing, head north to the Brushy Mountain State Penitentiary, located 15 miles outside of Wartburg. The maximum security prison is no longer operational. It now serves as a tourist attraction and includes the Brushy Mountain Distillery and Warden's Table Restaurant. The prison was originally built in the late 19th century as a coal mining operation. The prison was specifically created to force inmates to work in area coal mines. While in operation, Brushy Mountain held several notorious criminals and was renowned for its inhumane living and working conditions. But one very unusual inmate seemed to have enjoyed his time in Brushy Mountain, a deer named Geronimo. In the early 1970s, a young deer fell off a cliff and into the prison yard. That's what they call him, Geronimo.
God. That's fantastic. Keep going. I want to know more.
Inmates convinced the warden to allow them to keep the deer as a pet. They tamed the deer, named him Geronimo, and gave him unlit cigarettes to eat his treats.
They started with lit ones, and that did not go well.
When the prison was temporarily shut down from 1972 until 1975 due to a labor dispute over the working conditions of the coal mines, the prisoners were transferred to a Nashville prison, and they successfully lobbied the warden there to let them bring Geronimo. The deer hated the new location and threw, quote, temper tantrums, according to the Nashville warden. Eventually, the deer broke one of its legs and had to have it amputated. Apparently, the deer was then moved to an undisclosed non-prison location to live the rest of its life.
Fascinating.
Minimum security.
So this prison is also like key to the Barkley Marathons, right?
What is it?
Have you seen that? Have you not seen that documentary?
Yeah. Yeah.
So the Barkley Marathons, like some people escaped from this prison, and this is the escape route that these people took, supposedly, or something like
that's
that.
That's the route for the marathon.
But it changes every year, and you have to run this route, like, it's like 3 or 4 or 5 times.
Yeah.
And like for the first number of years, nobody even finished it.
Wow.
But you run to these different locations. You get a coordinate, and you have to go and like open this next thing and sign a little book and then keep running to the next one. And it's like, what, 4 laps, 5 laps, something like that?
Mm-hmm. Like up and down these horrible mountain terrains.
Yeah.
It's like disgusting. The Alcatraz paddle around.
Yeah, but I think this is the prison that was the whole thing is based off of, like an escape from this prison.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
What if one of those marathon runners fell off the cliff and into the prison yard? Would they have kept him as a pet?
Probably.
Geronimo!
Yeah. Yes.
Stop calling me that.
My name is Steve.
Hey, just eat this unlit cigarette as a treat.
It was one of the prisoners' wives in a deer costume who just snuck in.
Or maybe it was a prisoner with a long-term plan of escape. It's like, okay, I'm going to dress as a deer. All right? You're going to keep me as a pet for like 10 years.
But eventually
there'll be a labor dispute.
Yeah.
My brother's working in the coal mines right now. You'll have me taken to that prison, you know?
I'll have a temper tantrum.
Then I'll lose a leg.
Right. Oh.
You know? And then this is the part where I take it easy.
For the rest of my life.
#Hashtag keep it lazy.
Yeah, but if you've not seen that documentary, check it out.
And it's what's it called?
The Barkley Marathons or something like that.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And like they would keep it a secret about where the starting point was and when it was. And
you had to get invited to participate.
Yeah.
What would cause you to get an invitation? You're a really good runner or you're just kind of a crazy man?
Yeah, yeah. They had like people from all over the world that were invited.
You got to show that you actually have what it takes. And they always have somebody who thinks they can do it.
Right.
But they allow to participate who's like, I'm the macho guy. Like, I got this thing. And they all know that he cannot do it at all. And so they all relish in the fact that he burns out in like half a day.
Well, and it's not just being a good runner. It's like a mutter kind of thing, right? Is it like a
Spartan race? It's endurance.
Gotcha.
Extreme endurance. But but the guy who, and it's off road, so it's not like an ultra marathon.
You just run through the woods.
You got to know how to read a map and run for 4 days straight.
And you get like a little, like when you come back in, you can take a break and take a nap, meet some food, and then go back out. But it's all part of your time.
Yeah, talking about having the guy in the race that you know is not going to make it, it reminds me of that meme that you always see about like in the Olympics. It's like, can we just have like a regular person competing in all these events just so us viewers have an idea how to gauge
of how
extraordinary these other people are?
That would be great. They just always come in last place.
Yeah. But just to really give you an idea as you watch sport to be like, oh, and I would probably be behind that guy.
I'd be vomiting like him.
Yeah.
Sounds like me at the aerial studio.
Thank you for your sacrifice, Neil.
Yeah.
So you
a normal sized person next to
you need
them.
The regular guy to come around and be just like the reference point. It's like when you're looking at how big dinosaurs were, there's always a little picture of a man beside it. So you can see the dinosaur was huge.
They're not real.
God created them. They didn't evolve.
They're not real.
They're real.
So what do you call that person? Because that's how you start the event, right?
We're
going to have a 100-meter. So before we start, we're going to go ahead and get a frame of reference. Here comes the...
Regular guy.
Joey.
The standard.
Joey. Here comes Joey.
Joey the standard.
Here comes Joey standard. Yes. Joey standard. Come over here.
Come on over here. You line up. Yeah. It's okay. You can wear your Crocs.
Oh, look. So it's normally done in 0.3 Joeys.
Yeah.
So that, no. Yeah, keep your bathrobe on. Yeah. It's okay, Joey.
So that should become the measure reference, too.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, this man is the equivalent of 5 Joeys.
This would kill 10 Joeys.
Yes.
Okay, this marathon thing, 10 Joeys through the Barkley Marathons.
You would need 4 extra Joeys to make it in that time.
You would need to know how to swim to do this next event.
The average Joey, not a good swimmer.
Joey is from Jersey, correct? Make sure we're on the right page here,
So we're going to start the Jersey Olympics every year is basically what we're doing.
I am not having a good time, you guys. Not having a good time.
Oh, but it would be like the standard for going from 6 to 5. If Joey doesn't end in last place, you have to change the event somehow.
Yeah, there you go.
No, I guess you can't have it first. You've got to have him do it with him just so you can see like the first guy go by
time.
In 3 seconds and then 9 seconds later, Joey.
Yeah.
The 100-meter dash. Yeah.
But it's a good gig for Joey. He goes all over the world competing in all kinds of events. He never takes his Crocs off.
I don't want to do the rock climbing again. I don't want to do it.
Joey's going to die of a cardiac arrest. All right.
He's actually the best athlete in the world because he's gone beyond the decathlon. Yeah. He's done however many
He can do all of it. Not like, well.
You should see me play chess underwater. I would blow your mind.
I'll say, but there's a point where you have to switch Joey's.
Exactly.
Joey's going to get fit.
We got to change it to the Nathaniel standard because Joey's gotten too good.
Yeah.
We're going to have to retire you, Joey. You don't suck as bad as we'd like you to.
Hey, Nathan, get over here.
Joseph Naffel was born in Wartburg in 1861. He was the son of Rudolf Naffel, an Austrian doctor who served the Austrian emperor and then fled the country in the wake of a revolution. Yeah, but how fast did he run? Joseph eventually moved to Knoxville and became a photographer. In 1899, he printed his most famous work, Madonna and Child.
I know my Jesus plates.
It is still not Jesus and Mary.
Why are you...
Madonna and Child is Jesus and Mary.
Madonna had multiple children.
Not that Madonna.
Also called the Naffel Madonna. So at the Madonna Olympics every year, you have to compete... as the Naffel Madonna. 19-year-old Emma Franz, the daughter of Ignaz Fanzone, one of Joseph's friends and a Knoxville sausage magnate.
That is my favorite phrase of the week. That is great.
Sausage.
Knoxville sausage magnate.
if we could all be so lucky.
Posed as Madonna. And Joseph's baby daughter, Josephine, posed as Jesus. Jesus. This print was massively popular. And Joseph sold thousands of them in America and Europe.
So this is like the first, what was that glamour shot place you used to go to?
Yes.
Where people get dressed up?
It's called
up?
Glamour Shots.
Okay. Oh, well, yeah. There you go. But it was, so this it was, is like the inception of this.
Yeah. Go ahead and bring, if you don't have your own baby, you can borrow ours. Dress up like Mary.
Glamour Shots were your baby. Big. So, at least they were where I was, where I grew up. My
like
mom
in the
did
mall,
them.
Right?
My sister did them.
In the mall?
There were people who had studios. It was like a branded thing that you could do. Like you paid
for. Oh, yeah.
Here in New Bern, we had O-Marks. Yeah, growing up. Yeah, they were over near where the license plate is. Places. I don't know if it still is there or not, but you knew that backdrop, and in the little corner they had that O-Marks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, there's a place now, actually not too far from the theater, that does those types of things.
Though, that looks weird, though. That's like Old West photographs.
It's all weird.
it's weird.
Bush
Gardens,
it's never been natural.
You're dressing up as things you're not to take a picture to show to people,
but you're
to
like,
maybe suggest to them you do those things.
But you're holding toy guns and like bags with dollar signs on them, like you robbed a bank.
That's different, and that happens like you go on vacation,
right?
Have
but they
had
one of those in New Bern.
Yes, and I'm not going there. But but the glamour shots thing, like it was like come in and put on a fancy dress and get
and
your
a
hair
lot of
done
makeup.
Up.
Yeah.
Lots of makeup. Yeah.
So this is
give you a baby. We'll
give
you a yeah. You want to hold
they
a
have
baby?
Like an actual live prop saying, baby.
You want to hold a baby or do you a want sausage?
You want the Knoffel Madonna package or the Knoffel sausage package?
Bring in the sausage magnate. This print was massively popular, and Joseph sold thousands of them in America and Europe. His Madonna photograph still makes frequent, although uncredited, appearances on Hallmark Christmas cards.
Why? Why do people want to see this picture of some lady and a baby?
Because
it's obviously not Mary and
it's Christmas.
I wouldn't say obviously.
It's quite obvious.
I'm not going to lie. I would not have thought that was supposed to be Mary and Jesus. If you just showed me that picture, I would not. George went there. I would not have.
There
made
is
that.
A very famous painting that it is a mimic of.
Right. Okay. Of that same like
it's
pose.
The same setup. Yeah.
Well, I'm not cultured. I'm a standard.
I'm
Joey.
With you.
Standard Joey.
You can put me outside a museum and I'll just be like, I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, that's our Joey.
We need a Joey tour guide for the museum.
Mary, painting, sculpture.
It's Mary, Jesus, and Joey.
There you go.
Oh, Emma has a second, much sadder claim to fame. Mm-hmm. In addition to being the face of one of the most famous modern Madonnas, she was also, quote, Knoxville's first car wreck widow.
Oh,
her husband, Will, was killed just 10 years after the photo in a wreck.
That means they were somewhat wealthy, though, right?
It does, yeah. It's all that plate money.
That's right.
Sausage.
Sausage money.
So he died and she became a sausage magnate in his place.
There you go. Now,
in the summer of 1909, Will, one of the first car owners in Knoxville, went out for a drive with five friends. The car's tire blew out on a curve and sent the car off the road and down a 25-foot ravine. Details of the wreck and deaths were so sensational that they were printed in several newspapers. Emma eventually remarried, lived a seemingly happy life, and died in 1977 at the age of 97.
She settled for a standard Joey after that.
She did, yeah.
You wouldn't call me a magnet. No. You know, but I'm sensible. Have fun in Wartburg. If you want to try river bugging, stick to Class 1 rapids. Please do not feed cigarettes, lit or unlit, to any wildlife you encounter. Instead, consider what your lives would have been like if you had been a sausage magnet or a Madonna model.
Make Easter eggs last. No author listed. Families gather on Easter to participate in many different traditions that have been passed down through time. One such tradition is coloring Easter eggs. Millions of eggs are harvested and sold this time of year to be included in Easter festivities. However, soon after egg hunts have been completed and family dinners are brought to the table, those colored eggs may be relegated to the trash. When colored with food-grade dyes, such as those manufactured and readily available around Easter, the eggs remain safe to eat. Colored eggs that are stored in a refrigerator can last up to a week if their shells remain intact. Peeled eggs may last up to 5 days, says the USDA Food Safety and Inspection Service. Once eggs are boiled and dyed, they should be promptly put into the refrigerator to keep them fresh and edible. It's advised to use plastic, wood, or paper mache eggs for Easter egg hunts, as eggs made of such materials will not spoil. Nor should you eat them, which is not in the article. Otherwise, hide and refrigerate hard-boiled eggs if this task can be completed within 2 hours. After that time frame, the eggs have the potential to spoil. By eating colored eggs, you can reduce waste and add a tasty appetizer to Easter meals.
Hide and refrigerate?
Yeah.
That's the worst Easter egg hunt ever.
Refrigerate,
just go to the fridge.
Yeah. Found them all.
it sounds good to me.
Well, you have an Easter egg hunt inside of a large walk-in freezer.
And you go in just shorts and a t-shirt.
Yeah.
That's all the time you get, as long as you can last.
How disappointed would you be as a kid if you found Easter eggs that were real eggs, though? Nobody wants that. They want the ones with candy and money in them, right?
Not Neil.
Right?
I mean, Little Neil wanted real eggs.
Boiled egg?
Little Neil never wanted an Easter egg hunt.
But he had to.
Do you know why I hated it? Because they always wanted to do it while you were still dressed up after church.
In your fancy clothes.
Yeah. And I always got in trouble because I always got them dirty. So, yeah, Easter egg hunts were not fun. It was a time of turmoil.
But were you searching for real hard-boiled eggs or like
God,
candy?
No, plastic ones with
I mean,
candy.
Right? Who does that?
Little Neil comes back carrying a chicken. I found the mother load.
Starts squirting eggs into his mouth.
Oh, God.
What about the golden egg? So there's always one big golden egg. Whoever finds that gets like a $10 bill.
No, there's not always a big golden egg.
You know what I think? I think you just didn't find it. I think we need to go to all the Easter egg hunt locations that Neil was as a kid and find those golden eggs. They're still out there.
No, they're not.
No, they get taken by one kid, and then all the children learn a lesson in inequality at the age of 6.
Because kid got money.
That kid got the golden egg, and everybody else didn't.
Did you ever, have you guys ever hidden eggs for an Easter egg hunt?
Yeah,
I'm sure.
That's fun, right? For your kids?
Yeah.
You make it easy, you make it hard.
Depends on their age. You know, when they're younger, it's like...
I can hear George like, oh.
When they're younger, it's like, here is a 10 by 10 area of grass.
And there's a bunch of eggs
here. Sitting in the middle of it. Yeah.
I'll say also the weather determines how well you hide them.
Yeah.
And the height of the kids probably. Because I would hide them in trees.
And the age of the kids more appropriately.
So George would hide them in trees where only he could get them.
You can see them, but you can't get them. Yeah. You see that egg up there, don't you? Yeah. That
another
one's got money
lesson
in
inequality. That's the big gold egg. That's got a $100 bill in it this year.
You come back here in a couple of years, you're tall enough to reach that egg. It'll still be there. But
see that cliff and that eagle over there?
And that deer? The problem is there's only a certain age at which kids will look for eggs. So if you don't want to make it too easy, I mean, at some point you got to make it harder.
Wait, or you just never said I would go on an Easter egg hunt right now.
Oh, I would.
So what do
but
you
I know I'm not
age?
The standard Joey.
I mean, you are definitely not.
I'm not the standard Joey. I would do an Easter egg hunt right now. But like you got to, so you grade it up, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the kids probably stop when they're 10 or 12, right? Does Fenton still hunt for Easter eggs?
He does. So does Emily.
Okay. Well, then
they love it.
Can I help hide the eggs this year?
Yes, you can.
Okay. It's fun. Well, my kids are too old. They wouldn't do that today.
We'll have a community egg hunt at your house this year.
Okay.
Yeah.
Everybody bring your eggs.
I think the challenge as an egg hider is how many eggs do they not find? And then you kind of grade yourself based on how well you did hiding them.
So it's funny you say that. This past year at Easter egg hunting, we go to Hillsboro. There's some friends that Jess's family has gone to their house to do egg hunts for years. And so we went. I've gone there the last 2 years. And they counted how many eggs that they put out so that they would make sure that they all got found. And then the kids found more eggs than they put out.
Oh, which no.
Which meant candy from last year.
Don't eat the candy, kids.
There was no way to know.
Oh.
Like, it just got thrown into the mix.
Did they tell anybody, or was it?
No, all the parents were there when this discovery was made, and we were all like, eh.
It's got preservatives.
It's probably okay.
It's probably okay. They'll look at it. They'll be able to see by examining whether or not this is candy. So that's
if it
okay.
tastes bad, they'll spit it out.
Yeah, they will.
Yeah.
This tastes like a purple boiled egg.
That was not refrigerated.
That's amazing. I love that. Hotel coming to Morgan County? That is with a question mark. No author listed.
Nobody knows.
Do the letters get higher on the page, too?
Could a new hotel be coming to Wartburg?
Probably not, right?
No, end of article.
There's 924 people there.
Nobody asked me. I say no.
Wait a minute. That feels too close to home.
Yeah, it does.
No, jokes on us. This is a long article. Morgan County Economic Development Board, and that's the MCEDB, for those of y'all keeping track. Executive Director Lisa Colton hopes so. And last week, MCEDB purchased 7.36 acres of land off Highways 27 and 62 between Save-A-Lot and the Morgan County Visitor Center with the hopes of luring a hotel to the area. Wait, okay, George, you're nodding your head. I don't quite understand what's happening
here. Oh, I do.
Yeah, they're trying to spark economic development and tourism, but they don't have anybody in mind yet. So they're saying, we have this great spot between the Save-A-Lot, is that what it is?
Yeah.
The Save-A-Lot and the visitor center.
Yeah.
It's like the shell buildings that different counties will create or creating an industrial park that the county buys and develops.
Yeah.
It's a similar concept, but more on...
Where the it's county like Field of Dreams.
Puts in the infrastructure.
It's like Field of Dreams.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Economic Field of Dreams.
We're going to build like a shell hotel and hope someone comes to put their name on it.
Y'all laughing. He just said the thing that made me understand it. Oh, I get it. Okay, yeah. Okay, they're plowing the corn. Okay.
They're plowing the corn.
Okay, I get it. You know, Timothy Busfield's not going to be happy about it, but yeah, it's fine.
You can't go through life making Timothy Busfield happen. You can't do it.
Okay.
My picture in my head is walking young Keith around a Blockbuster trying to explain life concepts. No. This one's like Jaws.
Yeah. Oh! It's Taurus season. You don't want to close the beaches.
You can't close it.
Okay, yeah.
All right, we cut to 6 months after they've built the hotel building. Councilman Tomlinson, it's done. It's built.
Wait, what?
It's built. Here it is. Here's the hotel.
What?
The hotel is built. We just need someone to come buy it from us and run it.
Wait. We built a hotel and now we're going to find someone to run it?
Yes, it is built. If you build it, they will come. That's what the council decided. I'm just the city manager.
What, Mickey Mouse? I would never have approved of something so lackadaisical as a Field of Dreams plot.
Let me say this. You're pretending like this isn't some sort of pattern. We've got the hospital down the road. Uh-huh. The hospital building's built. We just need some doctors to come in and start working on people.
Wait. We have no doctors?
We have a first-class hospital. It's got, you know, it's got x-ray machines and everything. It just doesn't have any doctors yet. If you build it, they will come.
Is everything in this town a shell?
Well, the jail.
Wait, what?
The jail has a couple people in it. But the jail, it started that way.
Is anybody watching those people?
No, we're still waiting for a sheriff.
What?
I know. We built the jail thinking, well, you know, eventually we'll have crime. And that did. There are a couple people that have been in there for a little while. But the rest of this, it just doesn't seem to be working out that well.
No, this is terrible. Are there any businesses in this town that are not just shells?
Oh, the strip club's doing pretty well.
That's been, to be fair, they that's got been same, here for a while.
They got the same statement. If you build it, they will come.
Done! Done! Timothy Busfield would laugh at that. Timothy Busfield would be happy with it, right? They're plowing corn. They're sowing oats.
Okay, now you're making me think of this alternate Field of Dreams movie where it's all about strippers coming out of the corn.
It's all I could think of as soon as we started was a strip club with that as their moniker.
Children of the porn.
Pick up trash, win prizes.
No author listed.
It's like an Easter egg hunt.
The two go hand in hand with an Easter egg hunt. Pick up the trash. There's your
prize. Yeah. Pick up these pieces of plastic hidden all over the yard.
Morgan County Litter Grant Coordinator Christy Say is challenging Morgan County residents to pick up litter. During the month of July, Keep Morgan County Beautiful is sponsoring its second annual Summertime Litter Challenge and is asking Morgan County residents to pitch in and help. Quote, "We did this last year, and we want to make it an annual summertime litter challenge," Say said. "It's a way to get the citizens involved and more aware of how bad the litter is. All you have to do is grab a plastic grocery bag, go to a local road and fill it up with litter. Then take a picture and send it out to Keep Morgan County Beautiful's Facebook page.
I know, I saw something somewhere, not here locally, but some coffee shop that was right on the beach. And they had an option where you go there, they have this some appropriately sized bag. You take a bag from them. If you go down the beach and fill that bag with trash and come back and show it to them, they give you a free small coffee.
Did you pick up the trash?
He dropped his cup so somebody else could get a free one.
Oh, there you go.
I'm trying to help out.
Yeah.
Yeah, give him back. To help motivate citizens of all ages to get involved, Say has teamed up with some local businesses to award prizes. The Adult Litter Challenge, also a fancy move that happens over at the Warthog. The Adult Litter Challenge winner will receive a prize pack from Brushy Mountain State Penitentiary.
Oh, great.
Wait.
Including dinner for four at the Walden's Table and four self-guided tours.
Warden's Table.
Oh, Warden's Table.
No, I liked it better before.
No, I liked it better if they're having dinner at the prison.
Yeah,
at the Warden's Table. Yeah.
Yeah, and they get self-guided tours. Like, you literally get to pick up the trash.
So you can walk through the place on your own. Do all this.
If you pick up enough trash.
Wait.
Yeah.
For self-guided tours? Why are people doing self-guided tours in a penitentiary?
Is it an active prison?
God, I hope so.
I assume.
No, it's not. It's not. They said that in the original tidbits. Yeah.
All right. And over here is where Geronimo lost a leg.
It was tasty.
Here's where we used to feed him unlit cigarettes as a treat.
Cut to the prison. 8 a.m. in the morning, everybody's checking in for the shift. So, Davis, you here for your volunteer work today?
Yeah,
man. Thank you for giving back to your community. Here's your nightstick.
Okay,
and your
hat
and your mace. You're going to be on level 3 today.
Level 3? I get to be on level 3?
You do.
Oh, man.
Fresh
I'll tell you what.
Fish.
Yep. So you're really going to use a nightstick.
What do you say there? Fresh fish?
Fresh fish, yeah. Yeah, maybe it's probably on the menu for lunch. Yeah, it's not a big deal. But
the warden's table? Is that part of the deal today? Do I get to eat at Warden's Table?
Well, it sort of depends on how your shift goes.
Okay.
But
doesn't know what he's doing.
So here's what I want to tell you.
That sounded more specific.
It was a bit more specific. But but here's the important thing. First, thank you. Here's your gift bag. This is just for volunteering today, and we appreciate it.
I love a gift bag.
Yeah, gosh, you know, prison guards are so expensive. So, I mean, we're glad that the community continues to come out and support it. So
dibs on the gift bag.
Okay, so a couple of
quick rules. It's my gift bag.
It is. So
I'm just trying to help keep Morgan County lawful. I've signed up on the Facebook. I love it. It's a great page.
It's awesome. So there are a couple of things I need to tell you before you go up. This is your first time, right?
It is, yeah. Okay. First time here. I volunteered at the hospital a couple of weeks ago.
Okay, this is very different. Okay.
Sharpen your shivs.
Okay. First, don't worry about
who
that.
Who is? There's somebody that keeps saying things I feel like are directed at me.
It's Joey.
Joey's
been here for a long time.
Joey's here?
Joey's been here for a long time.
Okay.
He's probably Joey, how much time you got in now?
Oh, 35.
35 years. So he's been here for a while.
So he's experienced.
He is.
He's somebody I could learn from.
No.
Oh.
No, he's on the other side of the bars.
Willing to teach.
So don't listen to Joey.
He's going to get you in a bar. 35 years ago. Joey, I appreciate you coming here to the prison today.
Oh, well, you know, I believe in keeping our county lawful. It's very important.
Well, one of the ways we have to do that is we have to have examples of people being in our prison. So the fact that you've come here to volunteer to be a prisoner here is so generous. And we really appreciate it. Like, you've done such great work at the hospital, right? Well, you've done such great work. You're
how
Rotarian.
Are doctors going to know how to heal people if they don't have people to heal? So I just was there to create people for them to heal.
Joey, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
So if you'll just step into this cell right here, this is where you'll be volunteering as a prisoner.
Oh, this is so much nicer than my apartment.
The interview. All right, so just a couple of safety things that we need to get down before you get out there. Okay, so first, they're going to ask you to come to the bars to talk to them. Don't do that.
Come to the bars.
Do not come to the bars. You know,
just a second, Joey. I got to finish my interview.
So there's a line painted, and that's really the maximum reach of the prisoners. So you want to stay
a line
inside. Yeah, you want to stay inside the walkway. So there's one on
each
side.
More of a suggestion.
It's not a suggestion. You really don't want to get there. So Joey's a little bitter.
bitter.
I just want to, yeah. Oh. He volunteered as a prisoner. Now that's a permanent position. I don't think that was explained well to him.
That was a bad choice.
Very vague.
It was
bad choice.
It was a bad choice. It's how you wind up in prison.
I heard people used to volunteer at the hospital to be patients.
They did.
That didn't seem like
a bad choice. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Particularly if there was nothing actually wrong with you, But anyway, so do that. You don't want to share your nightstick, okay? That's yours.
My nightstick.
Yeah, they may ask you for it. You don't want to hand that out.
Don't be greedy.
You don't want to hand that out.
Hold on. Why would I share a nightstick?
Well, they're going to ask you, hey, I'll trade you this nightstick for my shiv, or, hey, I've got a piece of bubble gum.
Oh, shiv.
Can't reach the spider.
Yeah,
in the corner.
There are tons of excuses they'll come up with. But really, just if you stay between the lines and don't really interact, you're really, everybody's locked up. You're just there for show.
Do I get to join in the basketball game?
I would
games?
Not. Oh, okay. I would not all recommend right. that.
Okay.
So you're
on the flyer.
I call for the new fish.
So
on,
when
on the flyer, that seemed like one of the more attractive things about being in a prison, though, is all the communal activity out in the yard.
Camaraderie.
So that's actually, you read the pamphlet actually to be a prisoner, not
no,
to be
no,
a guard.
I do. Yeah, okay. I'm sorry.
Because they get to play basketball. Okay. You don't get to play basketball. Oh. You also get to leave at the end of the day.
We cut back to Joey's interview all those years ago. Yeah, I'm reading the pamphlet here, and I'm just like, three hot meals a day? I mean, I'm lucky if I get two right now, to be completely honest.
Yeah, you'll
with
never
you.
Go hungry. You'll always have plenty of food. And if you work out a little bit, you can probably have a little extra food. You
oh, yeah, free gym. Get... Yeah, I see that. That's really great.
Yeah, so you can you go to the basketball games, and the prison guards get very jealous because they don't get to play. We get to have all the fun out here when you're a prisoner.
Oh, it sounds like fun there. Yeah, an hour of daylight every day. I mean, with the job I'm working right now, I mean, when I leave the house, it's dark. When I get home, it's dark.
Great. You're going to love it. And the thing about it is the longer that you're here, the better you get at it.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, it's a little bit intimidating starting out, but I feel like given like 35 years, I feel like I'm going to be really good at being a prisoner.
Cut back to the 35 years later interview. So I do have another question.
Okay.
I understand I'm not going to get to play in the basketball game.
It's really, you can. It's a recommendation.
I'm guessing I don't get to sit on the bleachers on the fence and smoke cigarettes either.
No.
Okay.
So you'll be either in the watchtower while they're out playing with the rifle or.
Yes. So I do get to shoot people.
Only if they act up.
Well, they're going to act up. This is a prison. I mean, I've seen movies.
We typically try not to shoot people out on the basketball field. It's only if they're trying to escape, okay?
I'm just saying there's a lot of knots. What are the benefits?
So the gift bag is really the benefit.
Oh, that's true. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, there's some cool stuff in there.
I'm sorry. I heard you mention the gift bag. I'm here to volunteer as the sultry warden's daughter that is off limits to all the fellas.
Oh, yeah. Oh, if you could just take that seat right over there for
just have a seat
moment.
Over
yeah,
here.
Yeah, just right over there.
All right,
yeah.
I can
Bazoonga. Who's this little lady?
Oh, that's she's coming in to be the warden's daughter that the inmates can't have.
Wait, what about
they can look, but they can't touch.
Oh, that's just mean.
The line is a suggestion.
So I think it's Clarence's turn this week. So you wouldn't want to go in Clarence's cell either. But that's a conversation for
Clarence's
a different...
turn for what?
Oh, well, if you bring her, they will come.
Six ideas for rainy summer days. No author listed. Summer vacation means spending time outdoors and enjoying sunny skies. But not every day will be sunny and clear. For those banking on spending long summer days outside, rainy days can put a quick damper on those plans. However, poor weather doesn't have to diminish all the fun. The following are some go-to ideas that can keep summer vacationers happy, even when the rain is falling. Number one, visit area museums. It's probably been a while since you've looked at the sights in your hometown, and rainy summer days provide the best opportunity to take them in from a tourist perspective. If you are away from home when the rain starts to fall, inquire about any unique indoor activities the area has to offer. Hotel lobbies, the one that no one owns, and concierge offices typically have lots of brochures advertising nearby activities. I don't know. Just
such a look of disappointment.
It is. It's
no, and this is a place with 934 people. So New Bern is 30 times that size.
Yeah.
what would you do here? I mean, all the suggestions are like walking tours and stuff, right?
I mean, which we have Tryon Palace and we have the History Center. And that's what
History Center. I mean,
History Center, yeah.
When I read that, I was just kind of like, you're a town of 900 people. You ain't got no museum. What's he talking about?
I'll say we've got that. We've got the Fireman's Museum. I mean, we've got a lot of stuff.
Yes.
Now, here's a puddle of water from the rain of 1942.
Oh.
There's one rock in the bottom.
Yeah. I think all these no-author listed articles we're going through this week, they're just like Associated Press stuff.
Or they're trying to get you to come to this town. I mean, it's like driven by tourism ideas.
But this is so vague. Like, this is just something that was written. This is just filler.
Like their stuff would be like, you remember the places that would have that wheel, the ass-kicking wheel? I can't remember what they were called.
Yes. Have you ever gone to that?
There used to be one outside of Kinston, right?
Yes, it used to be in Kinston, and then they moved it to James City. And we did that a few years ago with Dare's dad, because he used to drive to Kinston to do it.
Yeah.
But then, he was in Kinston.
Local politician Steve Tyson got it.
Does he have it?
So it was at his real estate office.
Oh. Thanks for purchasing that old house. Let me go ahead and introduce you to the ass-kicking wheel. That's what it's going to feel like from here on out. Exactly.
Let's see. Our number two suggestion is do a scavenger hunt, which I know your family, Craig, has done before.
You do that for birthdays, right?
We do it for birthdays, yes.
Yeah.
I was trying to think, when do we go on a scavenger hunt? But yes, for birthdays we do.
So do you like set one up and just wait until the rain stops?
Yeah.
No, you do it in your house.
No. Okay, I was thinking around town.
Go outside. Go find them Easter eggs you couldn't find from the year before.
Yes, eat the candy.
I can see my kids. Hey, I did a scavenger hunt in the house.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Be like, yeah, fun dad.
Yeah. Okay, have y'all ever done this? Have an indoor camp out. If weather cancels your plans to camp out under the stars, pitch your tent indoors and camp under the ceiling. Tell scary stories and tinker with a s'mores recipe to make your indoor camping seem more like the real thing.
You still go?
No. There's bad weather. Camp indoors.
That's why they make tarps and tents.
Camp indoors.
Camp indoors.
Yeah.
Fire.
No. You,
Neil hates Easter egg hunting and sunny camping.
I'm prepared for both eventualities when I go camping. Because it's likely to rain at some point.
Yes. Head to the theater. Curl up next to your sweetheart and watch the latest romantic comedy. There's only six. The last one is don't be afraid of the rain.
So the sixth thing to do when it's
raining
is go in.
Didn't they just tell you to be afraid of the rain?
No. Don't be afraid of the rain.
So their sixth item negates the previous five.
Yeah.
Yes, correct.
The sixth thing to do when it's raining is go in the rain.
So the article could have been, don't be afraid of the rain.
Buy an umbrella.
Galoshes.
Galore.
Dance in puddles. Does it say something like that?
Summer rain can actually be refreshing. So put on your rain jacket and enjoy a stroll or even find a way to have fun in the rain. It's all right to get messy during a rainy day volleyball or football game. Just be sure to run inside the moment you see any lightning.
It is interesting that we don't go out in the rain because are you worried your clothes are going to get wet? Well, you're going to wash them anyway. You're worried that you're going to get wet? You'll dry off. You take a shower every day. You get wet and dry off. Why is it that we don't like going out in the rain?
Because it's usually the discomfort of having wet clothes on you because, I mean, like...
Not for long, though. You always go home and change.
Well, I mean, you live a couple of blocks from where you work, so that's a possibility. Not a lot of people have that luxury.
I have this cool thing. It's a rain jacket.
Well, yeah, it's crazy. You wear a rain jacket or an umbrella. Yeah,
that's basically camping indoors. Are you really out in the elements, Neil? Are you really? At the end of the day, you've become what you hate.
It's my own little portable human tent.
You're carrying your tent around with you wherever you go.
See, it reminds me of when I lived in Oregon, where it does rain a lot.
Yeah,
and you know what people do when it rains there?
The same thing they were doing when it doesn't?
The same thing they were doing otherwise, because they have to.
You just live with it.
Yeah. But yeah, I like the idea of, so you're trying to come up with all these BS things to do when it's raining. But what do you do on a day when it's sunny? You go to the store and you buy galoshes to prepare for the rainy day.
So on rainy days, we should be preparing for the sunny days.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And on sunny days, you slather yourself in, you know, suntan or sunblock and sit under something that blocks the sun from getting to you.
Yeah. That's practically being indoors.
It's like camping.
It's the coward's way out.
What? Why can't you just lay out and get roasted like a lobster?
Did you really go to the beach if you put on sunscreen and sit under an umbrella? Did you really go to the beach?
Are you in pain?
Cowards.
Are you in pain from sunburn? If not, yeah.
Is there sand in your ass crack? Yeah. If not, you didn't go to the beach.
We are about to spend a week at the beach. It'll be fine because it'll be the family together.
Do you know, like, you talked about Easter egg hunts and we're so insanely excited. And it was almost like you just lost a friend talking about going to the beach. Like,
I will have a great time because my family will all be there and we'll all be staying in the house together. But the act of sitting on a beach.
I was going to say, y'all aren't like beach people, though,
no,
right?
Not really. Yeah. But like, we went Memorial Day, we went to Cape Lookout and we had a great time because we were all together. But just sitting on a beach,
yeah,
it's hot, it's dirty, it's you really don't sandy. Go in the water all that much.
Sandy, sand. Not
yeah,
dirty.
But yeah. Look, sand is just fancy dirt. You know, it's just dirt. It's just light colored dirt.
I love the beach.
Yeah,
I love for a little bit. Fancy things. For I want to write a book called George's List of Fancy Things.
You like the beach for a little bit, but do you want to sit there for like 6 hours?
Yeah,
yeah, I can do.
Really?
That.
Yeah,
no, I'm with George on this one.
Yeah.
And I'd lived on an island for 4 years.
Yeah.
I would still get bored. I'd end up out there because that's what everybody was doing.
Yeah.
But usually after about an hour, I've gotten everything out of the beach I want out of it.
Yeah, and you're just hot.
And for me, it's more the people that I'm there with and hanging out and chatting and all,
again,
and all that sort of
that's
stuff.
That's great, too. But you don't have to do it in the desert.
You can do that indoors.
Yeah. Yeah, whether it's raining or not.
Yeah. We cut to indoors. It feels good. It feels real good.
Yeah, the story made me think of the Cat in the Hat, right? Isn't that all because it's raining and they can't go outside?
Yeah.
So the Cat in the Hat comes and shows them fun things to do inside.
So what about pools? Do you like pools?
I like pools if there's shade and I don't have to sit there a long time.
If it's, you know, indoors. Because
I mean? You're in the water for a little bit, but you don't want to stay in there forever. Then you sit.
So when you go
sun.
To the beach, you like being able to sit in a house and look at the water.
I love looking at the water.
We cut to George's house. Hi, I'm here from indoortravelagency.com.
Oh, God,
you ordered the beach package, right?
Yes.
Great. So I'm just going to need you to step aside. Jerry, bring that wheelbarrow of sand over here. Come on, bring it on
All right, where do you want me to put it?
Wait, so you bring the beach... You're going to put that in my house?
Oh, we're going to fill your house with sand.
This looks like a good spot to start.
Yeah, just dump that
Before you dump it, can you just talk through this?
I'm sorry.
Yeah, no. I just want to make sure I understand.
It's about to rain outside. We got to move this thing along here. Yeah, go ahead and dump some more.
All right, there you go. I'm going to get another load.
Yeah.
The first of the saltwater bucket brigade has showed up. We're going to simulate the crashing waves just coming whoosh and then whoosh.
Yeah, just crack out a window and just start throwing it in on the side.
Hold on. What I said is I like the beach, but I don't like being outside and the heat and the desert-like conditions.
Right, so just
this
be
is
cool
what I
here.
Ordered.
No, all right, could you step to the side? I got to dump the sand here. Thanks. Didn't move fast enough. All right.
Yeah. We're going to need probably 27 more wheelbarrow loads.
I got it.
Just keep bringing them in
it.
Here.
We went ahead and cracked open the back door. We're letting in some crabs and different varying, living beach things.
It's going to take a while for the stinky fish smell to settle in. So you brought the bag of dead fish parts.
They are hidden around like Easter eggs, just like on the beach. You don't know where it's coming from.
The screaming angry kids are running late. I'm not sure what to do with them.
Wait. One of the things I marked on my choices and what I don't like is I only like to experience the beach for an hour at a time. So you guys will be cleaning this up, right?
Oh, yeah. We'll have it out of here in an hour.
That reminds me. We've got to bring in the trash that you find on the beach as well.
Oh, you mean like shells?
No, or? Just cigarette
butts. No. Trash.
Cigarette butts.
Trash.
Oh, Dave is running late.
Wait. Who are these people walking through my house that are dressed in swimming suits?
You never go to the beach and it's just you.
It's not your beach. It's a public beach.
What are these dogs? Why are they throwing? Stop throwing frisbee. Stop throwing that frisbee. Oh, my God. Seagulls? Get that seagull out of my pantry.
Oh, thank God. For a moment, I thought it was a monkey. That reminds me. Bring in the monkeys.
No. Oh, we got the exotic beach package.
Yeah, if you build it.
It's a beach island.
If you build
it. I thought you were
monkeys will
fancy.
Come. If you build it, monkeys will come.
I left the a very good seagull impression, obviously.
No, once someone said seagull, I was like, oh, yeah, of course. But I was just like, what?
Was that or a peacock? Somewhere in the middle.
Bunch of small town nose. Bunch of small town nose. Bunch of
Just Tolerated, another episode of Small Town News, a production of Small Town News LLC.
Today's episode of Small Town News was inspired by the Morgan County News of Wartburg, Tennessee, and stories written by Tommy Redman and 1 to 5 unnamed authors.
Episodes are performed and produced by Keith Boyd, George Oliver, Neil Oliver, and Craig Ramey.
Research by Dr. Jessica Saxon. Music performed by George Oliver.
This episode was recorded in Keith's living room in New Bern, North Carolina.
Small Town News is available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Amazon, and your grandmother's gramophone. Like what you hear? Leave us a review and subscribe so you never miss an episode.
You can also follow us on Facebook and Instagram for behind-the-scenes photos, exclusive updates, and opportunities to share your favorite Small Town News.
Thanks for joining us. And remember, if you build it,
they will come.
Stop him. It, monkey! Not stop him. It!
Timothy Busfield is
damn
not happy.
Dirty apes.
1 law partner from Nebraska, and when he moved to North Carolina, he went to the beach, and he said he'd never been to the ocean, and he went by himself. He went. He had like a towel. He sat down on it, started reading a book, had a sandwich, ate a sandwich, and then he was like, I was ready to go, and he'd been there 10 minutes. It's like, I'm done. This is it? This is the beach? I'm out of here.
Imagine if that was like people that went to the moon. Like, you get there and you're like,
exactly.
All right, I'm good.
Yeah. When does this ferry leave? Take me home.
Oh, or the Mars people.
Yeah, like, yeah, you're here.
I'm good. Can I come back?
You gotta terraform this place, man.
Could you imagine like the first men coming over the moon? Just like, you know, everybody's just like, oh, what was the moon? What was it like? It's like, it's boring.
It's kind of a big desert.
I've been getting moon sand in my socks for months.
Got to wear this crazy suit just to get out. It's all
gray. It's dark, and yeah, I mean, you walk around for a bit, and that's cool. But
you read your book.
Yeah, no water, no beach.
Something for an ice cream stand or something.
Yeah.
Do astronauts take books to space to read for leisure?
Like, you got to do something.
I mean, I guess you do, but at the same time, you would think like you're constantly looking at the amazement of the planets and the galaxies.
That's the sad thing, is that probably gets old.
Yeah, you're like, I need a book to read.
Yeah. But then you're so scared all the time, aren't you? You're worried somebody's going to punch through.
I would be.
You never really relax.
I don't think they are.
They are a little bit.
Well, a little bit, but I don't think that's like the all-consuming, like, terror of going to space.
But yeah, but I'm with George. At some point, you get bored. Yeah, like, I've never seen the Grand Canyon. I would love to see the Grand Canyon, but I know that there's going to come a point. Yep. I'm looking at that Grand Canyon. It's majestic. It's amazing. And then I'm going to go, all right.
You know, that happened. We went to see the Grand Canyon, and you go to one place, and you look over, and they say, don't look up until you get there. Look at your feet until you, they're like, wow. And it's amazing. But then you're there for the rest of the day. And you go to different places around the canyon, and you look out at that, too. And it's kinda,
and it's all the same.
And each one's a little less special. Just like,
I know. Now
you take a lot of pictures when you first see it, and then you stop taking pictures.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of like with kids, right? Your first kid, you take a lot of pictures. Second kid,
And you don't even take pictures of the ones after that.
Yeah.
Unless they're in pictures with your first favorite kid.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Show the picture of the first kid. It's like, I mean, the hair is, imagine the hair a little browner. Right. But you get the picture.
In case Mason hears this, or Dare, I love going to the beach with you.
I know.
It's not that I don't like going to the beach. It's that I don't like staying there all day.
George has concerns that he's made it sound like he doesn't like vacation with his family, so keep that in mind.
George should have concerns. Well, then I'm going to keep that apology.
Yes.